Today, Albo, it's the economy, stupid. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analysis, one of the latest posts covering finance and property news. Well, the early results from the US election indicates a strong Trump win. It's clear that households have reacted to the significant rises in cost of living and put the economy and migration well ahead of other issues such as Roe v. Wade. It's the economy, stupid, was a phrase coined by James Carville in 1992 when he was advising Bill Clinton on his successful run for the White House. Forget that and you get ejected, as Rishi Sunak in the UK and now Biden in the US can attest. And the focus is not so much stock market performance, but whether people feel better off or worse off than previously. Now, of course, there are always excuses, such as COVID and wars. But at the end of the day, personal finances lead. Now, this is important given the upcoming Australian election. And to that end, it's worth underscoring that while the first wave of inflation in Australia was also global and pandemic related, the second wave in Australia emanating from the Ukraine war shock transpired in the first weeks of the Albanese government. It was actually never an issue for the outgoing Morrison regime, and it was Albo's cowards that dropped the ball completely through most of 2022. For example, Resources Minister Matt King repeatedly succumbed to gas cartel techniques of persuasion, and Industry Minister Ed Husek acted too late and without enough vigour to change his government's mind. Energy Minister Chris Bowen went missing in action. Treasury Jim Chalmers projected fear of the cartel at every turn, cutting off moves for domestic reservations and also super profit taxes. And Prime Minister Anthony Albanese did nothing. So by the time the government applied its $12 per kilojoule price cap in late 2022, which by the way is now a floor 2 years later, markets were already deflating to those levels. And in addition, of course, there is also the issue of Albo's wildly out-of-control immigration surge, which sent rental inflation nuts. Together, those two blunders added around 2% to the CPI without considering spillovers or second-order effects. And then to try and help, they offered cash support to households against the high energy prices and rents, which made things worse because they are keeping inflation up and the RBA therefore needing to hold rates higher for longer as government spending goes through the roof across federal and state governments. It's a mess. A simple measure of household disposable income per capita compared to the US, the OECD and G7 countries shows Australian households are frankly being taken to the cleaners. Albo made Australian inflation much worse than it needed to be, drove interest rates higher than they needed to be, and gutted households much more than they needed to be. Not conducive to getting re-elected, huh? Despite the other side of politics being pretty awful too. Actually, he turned Australia's natural advantages of a protected labour market during COVID and huge domestic energy reserves into a millstone around our necks. The second wave of Australian inflation, therefore, was purely the fault of the Albanese government. Now, to underscore this, the ABS released their selective costs of living measures for different types of households. Now, this is different from the CPI because it includes housing costs, but does factor in government support like rental and energy subsidies. So the ABS said that over the past 12 months, the five living cost indices rose between 2.8% and 4.7%, easing from rises between 3.7% and 6.2% in the June 2024 quarter. Annual falls in electricity and automotive fuel prices contributed to the moderation in annual living costs for all household types this quarter, they said, thanks, of course, to government support. And they say that employee households continue to record the largest annual rise in living costs of all household types, rising 4.7% over the year, but that's down from 6.2% in the previous quarter and down from a peak of 9.6% in the June 2023 quarter. The most significant contributor to increases in employee households' living costs were mortgage interest charges. Mortgage interest charges rose 18.9% over the year, continuing the downward trend in mortgage interest charges inflation from a peak of, wait for it, 91.6% in June 2023 quarter. The Reserve Bank of Australia's decision to keep the cash rate on hold since November 2023 was actually the main contributor to the easing in annual growth, but mortgage interest charges remain elevated compared to recent years as some fixed rate loans continue to roll over into higher variable rate loans. Mortgage interest charges rose due to the continued rollover of those expired fixed rate loans, and the share of fixed home loan commitments has continued to decline in the September quarter, while the share of variable rate home loans has continued to increase, reflecting that roll-off. And higher insurance premiums and mortgage interest charges also drove the rises across the remaining household types. The remaining four household types recorded annual rises of cost of living between 2.8 and 4.4%. Insurance and financial services was the main contributor across those household types. Higher premiums for motor vehicles, house, and home contents insurance over the past 12 months have resulted in strong annual growth in insurance across all household types, and strong rises in mortgage interest charges over the past 12 months also contributed to the annual rise in living costs across most household types. Self-funded retiree households continue to record the lowest annual rise in living costs of all household types, rising 2.8% over the year, down from 3.8% in the previous quarter. Insurance and financial services and food and non-alcoholic beverages were the main contributors to the rises in annual living costs across most household types. The annual falls in electricity and automotive fuel prices had an offsetting impact to increases in the annual living costs for all household types. This quarter, all household types recorded falls in electricity prices driven by the introduction of the 2024-25 Commonwealth Energy Bill Relief Fund, plus rebates to state governments in Queensland, Western Australia and Tasmania from July. So all up, the real costs of living are still significantly elevated compared with the start of Albo's government. So they risk becoming a one-term government with polls neck and neck at the moment. This helps to explain the move announced over the weekend to reduce HEX debt and offer more TAFE places in an attempt to paper over the damage. But Albo, just remember, it's the economy, stupid, and it's the economy at individual household level which will determine how people vote. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.